Blog Talk Radio.
To the Alaska Patriot Network. We're so glad you could find us tonight. We'll be joined here by Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann show. You can find that show right here at Blog Talk Radio, Sunday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. Don't want to miss it. I usually join, well, I'm her co-host, so we switch respective seats on that night. And super excited to be here with everybody. I love our anthem. It's such a strong reminder of where we came from and how far we have to go as a country. I know a lot of you tune in to hear, you know, a perspective of what's going on in the world that you're not going to hear in the lamestream media. And just want you to know, you know, we do what we do here at the Alaska Patriot Network because we love our country. And it might sound kind of harsh, some of the stuff, you know, we talk about, but it's for the love of country, the love of sovereignty, and the love of each and every, for love of each and every one of you. So while Lori and I are getting settled into our respective seats here, I have a little bit of tunes for you. We're going to get settled in and be right back after this song.
Doctor says my blood pressure's down, and it's been that way since you skipped town. And I know you thought you're leaving would make me feel like screaming, but baby, I ain't even stressing out. I bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but girl, I ain't even getting mad, 'cause I've been getting laid. Baby, you should know that I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, and it's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. Used to have these headaches all day long, but it's disappeared since you've been gone. And that girl next door, she sees it, loves how I'm taking it easy, blows kisses at me while I'm on my lawn. Bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but I've been getting luckier than that. I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that I don't need your criticism. I've been keeping it on the DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, but that's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. I've been getting laid back. busy getting laid back. Cause I've been getting laid back. Baby, you should know that I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, but that's all I need to know and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. Busy getting laid back. Keep getting lucky, getting laid back.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with lucid libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
And welcome back. You are tuned in to the Alaska Patriot Network. This is Dahl. I'm your host. I am joined here by Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. You can find that right here at Blog Talk Radio, Sunday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. I joined Lori Ann in the co-host seat, so we respectively switch roles that night. It's a great show. Constitutionalist, libertarian, lots of great callers. We have some great regular callers on that show, and then also people that randomly call in. So that one's always a real fun show to listen to and participate in, and I invite you all to check that out. Once again, it's the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show right here, Blog Talk Radio, 6 to 9 p.m. on Sunday night, so you don't want to miss that. I want to give a shout-out to our service members and veterans. Thank you for your service. Without your brave commitment and sacrifice, our freedom would not be free to be broadcasting this show to you live tonight. We love you guys, and we thank you for everything you do, keeping America safe and sovereign, and your spouses and your family that supports you and prays for your safe return. We have your back here at the Alaska Patriot Network, and we'll always support you and uphold the good deeds that you're doing. So we have a great show tonight. We're going to bring Lori Ann in without any further ado, because we've got a lot on our template to share with everybody tonight. Welcome in, Lori Ann.
Well, hello. Happy Friday. Always good to be here with you.
Yeah, it is Friday. I did a show on Friday afternoons before, and it was, so Friday night's a little bit different. It's like, woohoo, it's Friday night,
everybody. Yes, it is.
So if you're not out partying, maybe you're
like
listening
it, though,
to the show. Oh, I do, too.
I kind of like
this
time, though. You know, it's Friday night, and, you know, anybody that's out there, you know, people aren't sitting in the middle of traffic or, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a time slot.
Yeah, it is a great time slot. Oh, my goodness. So without any further ado, can you believe that another craft was shot down just this morning? And over Alaska.
Yes, I can
for
believe
those
it.
That, yeah. And if you haven't been out of your secure bunker today, folks, there was a unmanned craft shot down over Alaska this morning, early this morning. It's reported that it was not the same type of craft that was shot down off the coast of North Carolina. This craft was much smaller. They guesstimate the size of a small car, and it was cylindrical, and it was silver. So, damn, it could have been ET. But
a bicycle, yeah, or maybe ET upgraded.
Yeah. You have some distortion in your mic.
That's interesting. Should be working. Is it any better?
No. I can barely understand you.
Okay. Let me call back in.
Okay. You do that. We'll be here when you get back. Okay. So Lorianne's going to fix her mic issue. And anyways, so this craft was shut down early this morning, and apparently it was shut down over the ocean, and the ocean is covered in sea ice. And sea ice, I mean, I know people see pictures on National Geographic and whatnot where the sea ice is, you know, this beautiful, you know, just as far as you can see, clear, or, you know, white surface that's all even and whatnot. Well, sea ice is rarely like that. It tides and waves and all kinds of the winds that break it up, and it chunks back together and it freezes. The recovery, in my opinion, of this supposed craft that was shot down over Alaska, and I'll get to the supposed part in a bit because I've got a couple theories on this, but will be nearly impossible to find if this is the case, if it is a small car, and that is if it even stayed on the surface. We don't know what the materials of this object were made of, whether, you know, we assume if it was free floating, it wouldn't be that heavy, but these things can fly with payloads that are heavy, you know, in the craft itself. So it's probable that, you know, it could have broke through the sea ice and just been, you know, covered back up by waves and froze back over before, you know, but even if it is laying on the sea ice, this will be nearly impossible to locate if they can ever locate it. And that is not because of incompetency, but it is just the nature of the terrain. And they have the Alaska National Guard, the military, everybody with the recovery mission right now, you know, regarding that craft that was shot down. Now, it was reported to be flying at an altitude of about 40,000 feet. 40,000 feet is kind of in that almost, you know, commercial airspace. Traditionally, planes will fly 30,000 to 36,000 feet of altitude. However, it's not uncommon for some planes to exceed that altitude level depending on turbulence and stuff, or wind shears, or any other kinds of variables. So the fact that this craft was flying, you know, 20,000 feet lower than the previous craft that was shot down the beginning of the week, it posed a imminent danger to civilian air traffic. That was the conclusion of the military. And there's two things to it. I'm going to play a clip from Senator Dan Sullivan out of Ketchikan, or out of Alaska here. And he gave a really good briefing. And I liked Dan's explanation of things, you know, his understanding of how he was approached about it and briefed on it through a security briefing this morning. But I liked his attitude about, you know, hey, you know, that this is Alaska and we're not going to put up with that crap. And Lorianne and I talked about this on a previous show about, you know, states' rights above the state, you know, the air above the state. That, but what we found in our research that that's actually federal airspace. But a state has the expectation that they should be able to keep their constituents safe. They have a responsibility to their safety of their constituents. And I really liked Dan Sullivan's, Senator Sullivan's, you know, segue into that, you know, as Alaskans, we're not going to tolerate this. And we will not allow this, you know, if this happens again, will strongly advocate for that. So I'm going to play that clip. I don't normally like to play clips right in the beginning of the show, but it is a great clip. It kind of outlines what we know so far as of, you know, that briefing. And Lorianne, you're back with us. Let's do a mic check.
Yes. Do I sound better now?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, good.
That was
okay.
Great.
Yeah, I disconnected Bluetooth and called back in and all that good stuff, so. Hopefully it was just, you know,
okay,
funky
yeah.
Bluetooth connection. And yeah, I'm sure this is a good clip. I agree. And it'll definitely kick off some further conversation once it completes and stuff. So yeah, go ahead and fire that sucker up.
Yeah. And I want to give a shout out here. We've got our call in number is 515-602-9722. 515-602-9722 and press number 1, and that raises your hand on our studio board and lets us know that you want to join the conversation. I invite everybody, you know, to chime in on this because it affects us all. I'm excited because this is going to kind of segue into a discussion about some of the stuff we've been discussing on a few of the previous shows. This strange hold that the CCP has on Joe Biden and Joe Biden's blatant subversion of our sovereign rights and our freedoms and playing by the CCP or the CCP book to undermine a way forward for America. So I think it's going to be a great discussion. I invite everybody to join in. Chime in, call in. We have chat is open. You log in to Blog Talk Radio and like the show page, follow it, and you can join in the chat right there. And if you have questions, we're happy to answer them for you if you are too shy to call into the show. So without any further ado, we're going to kick off this clip, and this will give a really good outline and you know, a strong course of discussion that we're going to have. So here we go.
Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan with us right now. Senator, thank you for your patience. Were you aware of this, Senator?
Yeah, Neil, I was briefed this morning from NORTHCOM. The Northern Command commander was briefed me, and I believe Senator Murkowski and our governor about that they had identified this latest object over the sovereign space of Alaska. And as I have been doing quite regularly, including in this classified briefing yesterday with senior Pentagon officials. I strongly encouraged the Northern Command, U.S. Northern Command, to shoot this latest impingement on Alaskan sovereign airspace down. I commend them for doing that, and since then I've been briefed by Northern Command as well as the Alaska Command military members based in our state on the mission. And I do just want to say one thing about the mission. This is varsity-level military operations. A lot of people don't understand the challenge and professionalism and just the incredible military effort that occurs when you do an op like this. Alaska is a huge state with giant airspace. This included F-22s, F-35s, F-16s, Alaska National Guard tankers. We have rescue operation units that are on the ground right now doing a search for this operation. So really, really incredible work that the Alaska military has done and is continuing to do. This is an ongoing op right now over the skies of Alaska, some of it at night, some of it in really difficult weather. So every American should know and appreciate the professionalism that has gone into this operation. These are not, by any measure, easy military operations to conduct.
Senator, I'm just trying to get the timeline that you mentioned. You were notified this morning. By that, are you in Alaska right now, sir, in Washington?
No, I'm on the East Coast.
Okay, so this morning, East Coast time, well before this sort of just got blurted out at a John Kirby presser, 11 minutes into that presser, when you were told at that point, were you told that this object was about to be shot down at that time?
No. Again, they were tracking it.
Right.
Our aircraft were tracking it. This actually came over into Alaska airspace in the area Nome, which is western Alaska by the Bering Strait, and then it was shot down eventually over Dead Horse. And by the way, we talk about Alaska being remote, but remember, Dead Horse is that's Prudhoe Bay. That's one of the most important energy areas in America. Right now, the recovery operations are taking place about 8 miles into the Arctic Ocean, but remember that's frozen, so you have a good opportunity, hopefully, to find the pieces. But remember, Neil, this is much smaller than what was shot down off the coast of South Carolina.
True.
They think it's about the size between a 55-gallon drum and a small Volkswagen. So that could be a challenge to actually find in the ice off the coast of Alaska. But at the time, I was informed of the tracking of this, of the seriousness with which Northern Command was taking this. And like I said, my strong recommendation, which has been throughout this entire last couple of weeks, is if we have unidentified objects that threaten our country or are spying on our country, that, you know, we should take the effort to shoot these down. We need to do it safely, but what I've been talking about is if this is another Chinese incursion, and we don't know that yet, and they've emphasized that in their briefings to me, but what I've been saying, I said it this morning on a news show, Neil, is we need to reestablish a sense of deterrence. If the Chinese think they can willfully violate American airspace, we need to make sure they understand otherwise. So, again, I commend the military for taking this action, a very challenging military action that they carried out very professionally, and wish those who are still involved in the op on the rescue side, on the recovery side, good luck and safety, right? It's tough to operate.
Absolutely.
Way up in Alaska. It's very cold. It's going to get dark early. And right now, our military is doing an exceptional job.
You know, I do notice when you talk about the difference, too. the criticism had been in the balloon and the notification that Montana's governor and senators got. Of course, they didn't get any when it was flying overhead at the time. It sounds like that was not the case here. You and your Senate colleague, Senator Murkowski, of course, and your governor, Governor Dunleavy, were all notified. Were you notified as well afterwards that it was indeed shot down?
Yes, I've had, like I said, I've had briefings from Northern Command,
okay,
which was responsible for this, and I had briefings from the Alaska Command, which is a subcomponent command of Northern Command, Command and NORAD, on the operation. And so, yes, I've been briefed on the results of the operation as well.
Speaking of Alaska, sir, and I just want to be clear, and you've been very patient, I very much appreciate it. The FAA is reporting that airspace is closed in northern Alaska to supposedly support these defense activities to get this and to retrieve this object. Is that still the case, and will that go on indefinitely? Do you know?
Well, when these kind of ops take place, Neil, as you can imagine, what you've seen in this case, it was coordination between our active duty forces, our military forces, but it also involves coordination with the FAA, coordination, I'm sure, right now already with the FBI to look at, again, on the recovery side. So if that's what you're hearing right now, I imagine that that's happening. Remember, Alaska plays a strategic role for our country in so many ways. You know, we're the cornerstone of missile defense for the entire nation. All the radar and ground-based missile interceptors are in Alaska. We're the hub of air combat power. We have over 100 fifth-generation fighters, F-22s, F-35s, F-16s in Alaska, given our strategic location. But the FAA in Alaska also plays a very, very critical role, not just for Alaska, but for every American who flies over from the United States to Asia. I mean, all of that comes through Alaska airspace. So our FAA partners in Alaska do an exceptional job for every American flying overseas. So the coordination that has to happen in an op like this, and remember, as the general said, this was at about a 40,000-foot altitude, unlike the spy balloon from China last week. 40,000 feet, that starts to get very dangerous for just commercial air traffic. So that is another reason you're hearing in the briefs that they decided to shoot this down, which, again, not only did I support, but prior to them doing it, I encouraged. But the FAA, as you mentioned, I've not seen that directly, but if they close the airspace over there, it's because there are ongoing military flights, military recovery operations, including some of our outstanding air rescue teams in Alaska, our National Guard, that do exceptional work. And they're either on the ground right now or they're going to be on the ground trying to recover the fragments of this object, which, again, was much smaller than the one shot down off the coast of South Carolina. But I'll tell you this, Neil, one other thing that I think we really need to start emphasizing here. Obviously, we need to check out and be very diligent on the connection to China. Again, the military has made it clear right now they have not indicated one way or the other on whether this involves a connection. But as we've seen with the Chinese Communist Party in the last week, you can't trust them, right? They're still calling the last balloon a weather balloon that has gone off course. Well, that, of course, is not truthful, and it's par for the course for them. They lie very frequently to the world. But secondly, the other thing we need to be looking at is very much focusing on our own appropriate sensors, systems, and capabilities, that I think this is a wake-up call, not just for the military in Alaska, but for the whole country. You know, we need to be able to detect things that are slow, like balloons, that are really, really fast, like hypersonics, that fly really, really low, like cruise missiles. And right now, our Homeland Defense needs an upgrade in all those areas. And I think this is a wake-up call in that regard.
All right. Well, someone is trying to get our attention. We'll see who is the author behind this. Senator Dan Sullivan, thank you very much. The Alaska Republican joining us.
Okay, so that was Dan Sullivan speaking with Hannity this morning about this incident. And it's really interesting because I like the response from the leadership in Alaska. Now, Governor Dunleavy, he issued a statement this morning, and he had said that today's announcement by the Pentagon that an unidentified object was shot down by a F-22 from Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson over Alaska's coastline raises serious national security concerns that should concern every American. I want to thank our Alaska-based military for eliminating the potential threat before it was flying over our land. This latest intrusion into our airspace raises serious questions about the White House's decision not to shoot down a Chinese spy balloon last week when it was above the Aleutian chain and prevent it from flying over important military sites in the lower 48. Unlike other states, Alaska is truly on the front lines. Because of our close proximity to our neighbors, there is very little margin for error. Russian territory is only a few miles away. We are the one state closest to the Korean Peninsula and China. Alaska is truly on the front lines. As such, decisions need to be made quickly to preserve the territorial integrity of Alaska and the United States. This incident is further evidence that the military capacity of Alaska is robust. An important discussion should ensue about improving those capabilities, including icebreakers, Army, Air Force, and Navy capacities. If the last few days are any indication, this may be a new norm, and we must be prepared. The Alaska National Guard is working closely with U.S. NORTHCOM and other agencies to provide any support as requested. This latest incident demonstrates that Alaska remains the most strategic place on Earth for both geopolitics and national defense. So as an Alaskan constituent, I give thanks to our leadership that is standing up and saying, hey, this can't be the new norm. And if this is the new norm, we're not going to wait on you. We're going to, use the Alaska National Guard, all of our assets, including Coast Guard, and with the help of U.S. NORTHCOM. Now, U.S. NORTHCOM is the United States Northern Command. And have you heard of that before, Lorianne?
You know, honestly, I haven't.
Okay.
So, that's kind of a new terminology, but it doesn't surprise me that, that sort of command centers in specific areas, since, we are a very large, widespread country, it would make sense to kind of segment them off and have northern commands or, various strategic points that kind of head up over certain territories. Yeah.
Well, it's really interesting because of the, sorry about that. It's really interesting because I had never heard of it before until these interviews I've been listening today, and it came up a lot. And I was like, what is this U.S. NORTHCOM or United States North Command? And what it is, it's one of 11 unified combatant commands of the United States Department of Defense. And what I found out was it's about 20 years old. It was brought in after 9/11. Bush brought it in. And it's interesting because this command, this section, they're one of 11. This command is tasked with providing military support for non-military authorities in the U.S. and protecting the territory and the national interests of the United States with continental United States, Puerto Rico, Canada, Mexico, the Bahamas, and the air, land, and sea that approaches these areas. It is the U.S. military command which, if applicable, would be the primary defender against an invasion of the United States. So they are in charge of the air and the land and the sea as it approaches these areas within, you know, you've got your boundary limits in the water. You have, you know, state water, federal water, U.S. water, and blah, blah, blah. So I wanted to bring that up real quick because I hadn't heard of the United States Northern Command before. And I'm sure it's something that we're going to be hearing more about in the coming days as they talk about this. So I wanted everybody to kind of be familiar with that terminology. And I think it's important, you know. But where were they last week, you know? It's interesting because after the – yeah. So this next week I'll be researching who these commanders are and their history, you know, see what we can, you know, from these other 11 arms of this branch or this, you know, commandment thing. So Senator Sullivan had said in his interview, you know, that they are recovering. They're going to attempt to search for and recover this object, which is, like he said, the size of a 55-gallon, you know, they're guessing between a you know, oil drum and a small car. And from what I could glean from research today and combing through everything, it doesn't, the way it was moving, they're claiming that it didn't have like a propulsion system like the previous one. But anything at that altitude would have to stay on any kind of course would have to have some type of propulsion system. The wind shears at 40,000 feet and the temperature at that altitude is extremely cold. And the wind shears up there are, you know, 100 miles plus. So if this thing was just floating around, it'd be like a fart in a whirlwind. You know, I mean, there would be no, there'd be no up or down with this thing. So I find it hard to believe that they would just shoot down something because it's, you know, in this airspace. So, and whether or not they find anything. And then also there's the other part of me that I can't help it, but I'm like, was there really something up there? I mean, did Biden launch something or Hunter launch something so that they could, you know, shoot it down real quick and look like they're, you know, Johnny on the spot? You know, just
yeah,
a false flag
event?
Yeah,
that's one possibility to kind of save face and like, oh, you know, like, okay, we're taking this seriously. And, yeah, I'm right there with you, like, you know, where's the pictures of this thing? Even though it's small, being 20,000 feet lower than the other one, you know, I want to see photos of this thing. I want to know what the whole story is. And, you know, where could this thing have been launched? Like you said, if it was, you know, if it, going, you know, you guys just had a huge storm roll in too, you know, I know you were saying last week with really intense winds and stuff. And so if this thing truly wasn't maneuverable or controllable, I can't imagine it, you know, crossing over the ocean with these storms going on and like not coming down on its own, you know, just from the sheer, you know, force of wind and things like that. So, you know, this one is kind of pretty concerning. And even though it's smaller, you know, we can't downplay it just because it's smaller. It could also have been like a decoy, like, you know, or like the bigger balloon could have been like a decoy. The, you know, yes, gathering intelligence, but this one being smaller, you know, strategically maybe like, okay, they won't notice this one because it's so much smaller. And who knows what the payload is, you know, like what I said before, like if it's some kind of bioweapon, you don't need a large craft to, you know, send over to deploy a bioweapon. That, you know, you don't need a huge container for something like that, you know, or even an EMP kind of a thing. So we don't know, you know, like, you know, it could have been strategic. It could have been, you know, yeah, who knows what the intent was. And, you know, it's hard not to assume that this is coming from China, but it could have even been Russia because, you know, Russia has islands only a few miles away. And so it would make more sense for Russia to launch something like this, because it doesn't have to traverse, you know, an entire ocean if it's launched off of one of those islands that are, you know, not very far away from Alaskan territory. We know that China and Russia work together on military exercises and things all the time. So maybe China, with, you know, the big balloon from last week, was trying to mask perhaps Russia launching this one, based on the intelligence that the China balloon last week gathered. We don't know. I mean, all we can do really is speculate, but, you know, some of these things just make sense too. You know, we, like I said, whenever I think of China doing something, I think of Russia and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Whenever Russia's getting blamed for something, I also got to think China, because the two are married to each other, trade-wise, military-wise, and, you know, intelligence-wise, too. So I wouldn't put it past them to be working in cahoots. And then you never know how many more of these smaller craft have been launched that we just haven't seen or caught. And now, you know, all eyes are on the skies after this, you know, big balloon was found last week and shot down finally over South Carolina or over the ocean. But now the optics would look really, really bad if we didn't do anything about this one.
Yes, and I had said North Carolina earlier, and I stand corrected. It was South Carolina. Well, it is so it's interesting because, you know, we had the previous that nobody knew about. Previously, there was one of these that crashed off the coast of Hawaii, and the government did not disclose that to the good people of the United States. And then we had, you know, of course, the spy balloon that went across the United States. And you and I had discussed it. We're like, are they going to really allow that to transverse over the United States towards the East Coast, right when we're about ready to do the State of the Union address and everybody's there in one spot? Is this a designated survivor moment, you know? So, I mean, that's where kind of, when I heard about this balloon this morning, I was like, well, where's this going? Did this really happen? I mean, I have to ask myself, you know, and share that speculation with all of you. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but is this a way for Joe to save face? We've got the balloon disaster, disclosure of the other balloon that crash landed outside of Hawaii, and then a disastrous State of the Union address, an economy that's in the tank, crash, the stock market just took a huge hit. Everything that's going on with the United States, Is this Joe's sick idea and it in his demented mind that he's like, we'll just like create another balloon. I'll just shoot it down to Erbil. I'll just think I'm a badass and they'll look over here while we do this. So while we're all focusing on a balloon that got shot down over Alaska, what the hell are they doing? What's going on behind the scenes? We know that Pence is being, his house is being searched right now by the FBI for classified documents. We got the Hunter Biden things really blowing up.
You mean the laptop that they all denied was his and Hunter denied was his and no, that's not mine. It's all lies that now Hunter finally admits, but that's a whole other topic of conversation.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not saying what happened is not significant, but how is it significant? In what aspect is it significant? Is it significant in the demonstration that I'm not going to say the United States, I'm going to say this administration is weak, because I know that there's millions of patriots out there that, you know, would never stand for this. And, you know, and the constituents of the people that voted, you know, strong leadership, and there is some strong leadership in the United States, but not enough. Where does this leave us? You know, like you said, we have the Chinese-Russia relationship is really, really strong. China's making bank, and Russia's making bank right now on these Russian oil sanctions. They thought it would hurt Russia by sanctioning their oil through the Ukraine deal, over the Ukraine deal. And China just goes and buys the oil, jacks up the price, and sells it to Joe Biden. You know,
either that
Russia
or we sell our strategic oil reserves to China.
To China,
for
too.
Some unknown
exactly.
reason. Exactly.
Yeah. So why, my question is, why? What is going on with this administration? Why do they hate America so much? Is Joe Biden really... is he this sick? Is he this demented? And or is he doing this intentionally? I'm going to say the latter. I'm going to say he's doing this intentionally. Joe Biden is old and he's washed up. He has no chance for 2024. He's a criminal. We all know that. And a liar. He's racist. And I know that because we've all heard the corn pop stories and the way he talks about everything.
Of course.
This
yeah.
guy has nothing to lose. And frankly, he does. He's, like I said, he's old. And I don't know if, like, the Chinese government is like, if you don't subvert and follow with this plan, this deal that we made, and we gave you all this money and your kid all this money, if you don't go through with this, you know, we're going to bring you down. We know you're old and you're, you know, not going to last long. We're going to bring your son down, your daughter down, and we're going to take down the whole Biden crime family enterprise. We're going to wipe you out, your lineage. I mean, is this what's going on? Do we have a commander in chief that's actually being blackmailed by the CCP to the degree, Lorianne, where he is not only depleted our strategic oil supply, our strategic fuel supply, I should say, he's also depleted our military assets. He left, what, $80 billion worth of, was it $80 billion worth of assets in Afghanistan?
Yep, military
and then,
assets and equipment, yep.
Yeah. Yep.
That Russia now is trying to make a deal with the Taliban to buy.
Exactly. And then when we hear how much money Ukraine's got, that's humanitarian aid. That is separate than the military assets that we've sent to them. And in today's world where the manufacturer and supply chains, for the love of Pete, we're going to be relying on China for some major components for our defense systems. I mean, that's where we're at, folks. And Joe Biden sent everything to Ukraine. And China's making bank off this. Russia's laughing at, you know, and they're going, hey, check this out. They're weakening us, and Joe Biden's doing it. And I believe he's doing it intentionally, Lorianne. I don't know if they've got him blackmailed.
I believe so too. His handlers, yes. Yeah, I mean, he is, you know, he is vulnerable. And, you know, again, I will go back to the solar winds hacking, you guys. Nobody in the news is even mentioning it. You know, of course, it's like it never happened. But, I mean, you know, December 2019 was when it was discovered that there was an ongoing, you know, the biggest, you know, espionage hacking in the United States ever. That took place over several months and infiltrated 9 of our government agencies and, you know, top big tech companies like Microsoft and everything, the SolarWinds Orion monitoring vulnerability that is blamed on Russia, but China also utilized that same vulnerability. So, you know, whenever I see these things happening, I cannot forget that huge hacking, because they got into Homeland Security, they got into Treasury, Finance Department, Energy, you name it. That is a lot of information that they gathered. And so I just can't help but think that that information that China and Russia got from us during that whole time, you know, several months this went on before it was finally discovered. And I can't help but think that a lot of that information is now, has been and continues to be used as blackmail material from China and Russia to manipulate this country, the leaders of this country, and especially Biden, because they know, everybody knows that Biden is so feeble and lacking of a spine, that, and he's all talk, you know, he likes to yell at people during the State of Union address and stuff to try to look tough, but he's really weak and feeble, and they know it. They know how to expose him. They have gathered intelligence that we might think that that's old, but it's not really all that old. And, you know, we have to just consider the timing of all this. I can't emphasize it enough. And then who knows how many more, you know, like I said, if they've been sending innocuous, like small balloons that would, you know, chances are if we caught this one, it's kind of like catching speeders on the freeway. You know, I mean, for every 10 cars that are speeding over 70 miles an hour, you know, maybe one will actually get pulled over and spotted. Well, you know, what's the statistics of us spotting this one small balloon and shooting it down? How many more have passed over collecting information and, you know, that kind of thing. So to get, you know, more current information, closer information on our military activities and things. So, you know, we just can't underestimate the information that China and Russia have on us. And how that, and Biden is, I think, very, very, very susceptible to the blackmail, because he and his family have been so corrupt. They have been so behind all this stuff. Hunter doing business with Ukraine, Hunter, you know, with ties to the CCP, our government, you know, our country allowing this Chinese CCP-backed companies to buy up our military academies. You know, there's a reason for all of this, folks, you know, and the reason why they bought the land in North Dakota is because it's only 15 miles away from one of our military installations. There's no coincidence there. We just, you know, all of these things are dots that, you know, we all struggle to try to put together, but we cannot deny that these dots are there and the connections are being made. And Biden is beholden because of all of this, because they had probably have so much dirt on him that could undermine, especially if that went public, they have so much dirt on him, decades worth of dirt probably, that, that, you know, he is just so susceptible to it. And same thing with everybody in his administration. I wouldn't be surprised if China demanded that Biden choose specific people to be, you know, cabinet members or, you know, judges or things like that, that that they can have in their pocket.
You know, and like Laurie was saying, this property that the Chinese bought, it they claim they want it for wet corn milling. And it's 370 acres, and as Lorianne says, right next to this military base. And this recently purchased land is an ideal location to closely monitor, you know, and or intercept military activity. And now I believe 51 Republican lawmakers had back in September protested this and said, hey, you know, this is a bad idea and we've got to stop this and it's not okay. And then just recently, at January 31st, Grand Forks, North Dakota will deny building permits to a Chinese-based food manufacturer that purchased land near an Air Force base, the mayor said Tuesday. The Chinese food manufacturing Fufang Group announced the purchase of 370 acres of land for a wet corning mill plant. So I applaud North Dakota and the mayors in these areas that said, hey, you know, we don't want you here. And if it takes, you know, denying you your building permits, then that's what we'll do. So I think it's really interesting that, you know, something that we've said in the past, yeah, we look at like the president, the cabinet and stuff, but some of the biggest changes and some of the most effective government happens closest to home. And that's why, you know, I always remind people, don't forget to go, you know, so people talk about presidential elections or Senate elections, make sure you're voting and you're vetting out these people that are your town council members, your mayor and stuff, because they're your first line of defense. Maybe not defense in, you know, tactical or, you know, that type of defense, but as a collective voice, a bigger voice than just your own. So that just goes to prove, you know, to say. And these mayors said, you know, hey, this is a significant threat to national security, and if the government won't do anything about it, then we'll do what is in our power. And it's not huge. They're denying building permits, you know, but that is huge. That's what they could do in their legal capacity to protect their constituents. And I just really applaud these mayors in that North Dakota area that say, hey, we're not going to do this. So it's important to look at, you know, the relationship we have with China and where we're going to go in the future with this, because Laurianne, and all of you out there, I believe, and this is nothing that nobody wants to say, but I really believe we are heading to war. And this is going to be devastating. And what's really frightening right now is we have, Xi Jinping, Panda Pooh Bear, is a madman. He's crazy. They have nothing to look at what they've done to their own people in China. you know, and they that's their people. You know what they're going to do to us? And then we've got Joe Dementia running around toting a nuclear football in the codes. I wouldn't trust him to go out and get an ice cream by himself without getting lost or falling off his bike.
And then him yelling at everybody to, you know, ban assault weapons. We're going to ban assault weapons. You know, disarming us at the same time. You know that it's like there's no coincidence there.
It's one of those things where
the American people, if they, you know, number one, it'd be very strategically hard for another foreign country to actually invade our country because we are so vast. We have so much, we have two oceans on either side of us, you know, plus then we have the Gulf of Mexico. So we have plenty of military, you know, protecting our shores in that respect. So we're not an easy country to actually invade. But if it did happen, you know, if we are leading up to war, then and if the powers that be pulling the strings want America to fall so that we can become, you know, more part of the New World Order than we already are, the best thing to do is disarm the people, because that is the other thing, is a deterrent for other countries not to invade us, is not only do they have our military to contend with, but they will have the citizens to contend with. They try to invade us and bring tanks or troops in through our streets. They're going to get fired at by a lot of guns in civil hands. And so that is also a deterrent. So the more that they disarm the civilian population, that is another area of defense that takes away some of that deterrent. And so we can't forget that this is strategic as well on Biden's part.
Weakening
our military. Our military is still weakened because of all the COVID stuff. Officers, people in the military that did not take the COVID clot shot for whatever reason and were, you know, relieved of their duties as a result. And some of that, even though they've, you know, taken down that requirement, there's still some ramifications on that. You know, that they're still, you know, discussing possibly hiring these people back, but that because we need the staff, we're short on military personnel, and but who would want to? You know, it's like being fired wrongfully and then the company asking you to come back. Who's going to want to, you know, go back to work for the same place that screwed you over?
Yes.
So,
and we have historically low recruitment levels. A period for new recruits.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to join the military because it's become a woke shit show. And that is not on our military members. You know, we love our military veterans and service members. But the command and whatnot have been just a military shit show. And, you know, it may not come to, you know, the best case. I don't know what's worse, you know, an invasion by land. And boots on the ground stuff, you know, combat and or these madmen on both sides pushing the buttons and just nuking the shit out of everything.
Both are equally scary, honest.
Exactly. You know, and I do want to bring up, you know, Alaska's people forget, you know, that Alaska is a huge strategic, you know, area for military and missile defense. We are like, mm-hmm. you know, the closest to Russia. We're the closest to North Korea. We're the closest to China. And during World
Isn't
War II,
Alaska,
you know, there was
also one of the two primary, like, controllers of our nuclear missile silos and stuff.
Yes. Yes, we're the cornerstone of the North American missile defense system. So, yeah, and then we have assets in the Arctic and whatnot. And, you know, a lot of people, there's some people out there that aren't, I know you're a huge World War II buff as well as I am. And, you know, back in 1942, the Japanese forces attacked Alaskan Aleutian Islands, and they bombed Dutch Harbor, just as they had Pearl Harbor, on the island of Unalaska, and they invaded the islands of Attu and Kiska. And Attu's radio operator, Charles Foster Jones, died during the invasion, and his wife, Etta, the island school teacher, she was taken prisoner. And this is kind of a forgotten battle, and this is the only battle, you know, Pearl Harbor got bombed, but there was no boots on the ground, hand on hand, or, you know, gun combat. But the Aleut residents of Attu were actually taken, all the people on the island were taken to Japan for the duration of the war. And of the 40 captives, 16 of them died from disease and starvation. You know, a lot of people don't know that those people were taken as prisoners of war and never made it back home. And after a prolonged air campaign, U.S. troops piled into transport ships to expel the invaders from American soil for the first time since 1812. So this battle lasted 18 days. And it was one of the deadliest battles of World War II, but it remains one of the least known. And they landed 12,500 soldiers in the northern and southern end of Attu Island and pushed the Japanese to the center, and they had their final battle there. And I've never been to Attu or Kiska. It's a very remote place, not something someplace you just go. I'm going to send you the link to this. It's a great breakdown of that battle and some great pictures. In fact, I'll put this also up on the Alaska Patriot Network Facebook page. And also,
yeah, and
the,
I'll post it on my Lucid Libertarian too. Because, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I even don't know a whole lot about this at all until you said something. Because, you know, down here in the lower 48, it's like we really don't really hear anything about Alaska, you know, unless something major happens, you know, we really don't hear about it. You know, I don't think anybody even really knew where Nome, Alaska is. Until the movie Big Miracle came out about the beached whales and, you know, Russia helping, you know, getting Russia in the middle of, you know, tensions with Russia and stuff to take one of their big ice-breaking ships to try to, you know, help save these whales that were, you know, frozen and stuff. And I never, you know, that was one of the first times I ever heard anything about Alaska was during that. And so we really don't hear about a whole lot going on up there down here in the lower 48. And so this Battle of Attu is definitely new information to me. So I thank you for sending me that link. And I want to get into that a little more because, yeah, I am a World War II buff. And I don't think a lot of people realize how, you know, everybody focused on, you know, Pearl Harbor and Hawaii. Well, you know, shit happened up there in Alaska too, you know, that nobody talks
about.
Yeah,
well, you know, and roughly there were 14 of the 1,400 Japanese that landed. Now, this just wasn't like a pilot crash landed with his co-pilot and they did a stealth, you know, thing across the island. They landed troops, 1,400 of them, And out of the 1,400 troops that had been in the valley, only 28 of them survived. And the rest had been killed in battle or committed suicide. And when the Americans came across the Japanese hospital tents, they had discovered that all the wounded had been killed by their doctors. And the Americans buried 2,351 Japanese in mass graves on Attu, and it's thought that there were several hundred more buried in the hills. So, like I said, I am going to put this really great history document up on the Alaska Patriot Network. Lorianne's going to post it on Lucid Libertarian, and I'll also post it on Twitter on the Alaska Patriot Network. But anyway, so it just goes to say that it could happen. It may not, Alaska could be attacked first. And because of our, relation and, our geography and our relation to stuff.
We know that Canada would be our ally. And so what a strategic place. To try to take over is Alaska, because then it's a very strategic area, both for, getting into Canada as well as the lower 48. So we can't forget that importance. And we also can't underestimate the size of Alaska, because you look at the map it looks like Alaska is a lot smaller, but that's just because of how you try to make a round surface flat, right? And so when you get to the northern areas, things look smaller on a map than they really are. But Alaska is a very vast, covers a lot of ground. And so that can't be forgotten either. And like I said, Canada's right there, and so that would be a strategic point for getting to Canada. And maybe these balloons aren't only spying on us, but also Canada, to learn about Canada's military capabilities, since we would be allies with each other if there was an invasion. We would back each other up. So it's just as important for China and Russia to understand Canada's military capabilities and spying and espionage that way too, since Canada and us are very much allies, and we might have our differences, but if anybody were to invade Canada, our government would have their backs, and then vice versa. And so when it comes to military attacks or strategy, Canada cannot, it would be absolutely unthinkable that an enemy would not consider Canada in the picture as well.
Yeah, it is really interesting because Canada as a whole, had great relationship with China. And their relationship goes back years. In fact, they were China was Canada's largest trading partner for years up until 2017. And it's interesting because the relationship between Canada and China cooled significantly, particularly when Donald Trump was in presidency. And Donald Trump was, calling out China for the Uyghur genocide and all the other, humanitarian crimes. And Canada made the mistake and criticized the government over the Uyghur genocide and the crackdown of dissent in Hong Kong, and started kind of protesting their unfair trade practices. And also, cases of Chinese espionage in Canada. And it's really interesting because China is starting to feel that anti-China sentiment coming from, the Canadian government. And the Canadians themselves have you know, their views on China have cooled considerably. They say only 14% of Canadians view the China favorably. And 52% of Canadians view China as the nation's biggest foreign threat and believe a second Cold War between the United States and China has already begun. So whether China or whether Canada will provide any type of support, I mean, what level of support is questionable. I mean,
they got NAFTA. They can't really renege on that. I think the last thing Canada wants to do is choose China over the United States because, you know, strategically wise, that would be completely insane. Look at how much territory we have, you know, along our border, you know, being the northern neighbors. I mean, we have way more land, you know, and territory of a border between Canada and the United States and Mexico. I mean, it would be really stupid of them to choose China over us because there's no going back. They would be violating so many treaties, including NAFTA, if Canada were to, you know, say, nope, we're not going to support the United States. We're going to choose China instead. No. That would be strategically annihilation for them to do that because, you know, they depend on us as well. Canada benefits from the fact that their closest neighbor is so militarily superior to them. It is to their advantage to have our protection. And if they were to violate all of these treaties and be at war with the United States, then, you know, they would not fare very well, not one bit.
Well, you know,
it would
be
so stupid.
You know, Canada is, you know, a member of NATO. And actually, NATO was kind of the love child of Canada. And it was created, you know, during the Cold War. And it's interesting because I was actually looking at some of this information, and it was actually Justin Trudeau's dad who was the founding member of NATO, Pierre Trudeau. So it's interesting because NATO, Canada, not saying they don't have military, but they don't have a robust military like the United States. Like you were saying, good to have a strong neighbor, have a good, you know, relationship with them. And NATO is the cornerstone of Canada's defense. Whereas United States, we have a strong military, but NATO is the primary for Canada. So Canada is going to rely on all, you know, everybody else to come and rescue them. And that's where I'm kind of going to go back just a little bit where I was saying, you know, we're seeing, you know, Biden send all this stuff to Ukraine and, you know, and then leave all these military assets in Afghanistan and just kind of, and also kind of, I don't know, it's just like, purposely weakening the United States. And it's so concerning because, like I said, I really see that we're heading towards like a really bad direction. We're heading towards some type of war.
Yeah.
And
I just thought of something. Like, if we are truly heading into war, and given our alliance, you know, between Canada and Mexico, strategically, think about this. If we were to get into another war And what is it, just this past year, something like 2 million illegals have entered the United States and are allowed to be here and getting all this support and stuff. Who do you think, that if we instituted a draft, who do you think would be the first people that we're going to draft? All those illegals that we've been supporting and putting up in hotels and shit. Guess what? You're going to be the first ones drafted.
Well, we can't. Yeah, we can't. They're not U.S. citizens. So
we could give them, you will be a U.S. citizen if you go to war with us. And,
no.
You know, I mean, we could,
absolutely
there could
not,
be a lot of maneuverings that go on, a fast path and go, you know what, we're going to draft you. You're here illegally, but we will make you like temporary citizens in order to draft you. And once you fulfill your service, then you will be granted immediate 100% citizenship. Laws like that could be passed. And guess what? I don't think politicians, you know, would want to send our American-born men and women to go die first. You know, they're probably going to want to send these illegals first. And
all right,
that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Strategically, I think it might be a thing.
These people are unvetted. You don't even know their real name. And they've all come over illegally. And I mean, we're going to arm them. We're going to give them.
It doesn't matter if they're the front lines and only, you know, 1 out of 10 actually survive.
All right. Well,
you know what?
It's not going to happen because, you know what? Because a lot of them are brown in color. And that, do you think the woke ideology would allow that? They'd say, look, they're sending all these people of, you know, color over there to die. And so what will they do? They'll come around you and I up and everything and put the illegals in our house, let them live comfortably and send us off to war. I mean, this is not a country, this is not an administration that wants the best for America. And that includes even sacrificing their precious illegal immigrants. They would rather American blood spill before they send those people off. And that would be akin to,
you know what, in a time of war, I would not put anything past our own government. Just like how we're, you know, the Japanese internments and stuff like that. There is nothing I wouldn't put past our government, especially in a time of war, and especially if we are under direct attack. Color is going to matter once again. You know, when we look at black troops that have fought, for our country before they were, you know, even when there were segregation laws, towards the end of slavery, you know, it was the black people that were sent to the front lines, you know, more and more, you know, and so I don't think I would not put it past them, you know, their skin color and the fact that these people are illegal, being housed in our country and benefiting from it, I think our government would have no problem at all sending them to be the first to die. Honestly, we don't think it would happen, but you know, how many times do we say this would never happen, and then it happens?
Well,
our government,
I put nothing past
our government.
See, now I see this illegal administration, this illegitimate administration, I should say, and it's illegal, rounding up all the mega people, you know, first, mega Republicans and maggots, they like to call us, and or Trump supporters. Well, you know, even if you never voted for Trump, if you're white and you don't go with what Biden says, you know, you're a mega extremist. And we're the first ones they will round up. because we're hardest to control, and they'll send us to the front lines first. Because and then they can say, well, now
no,
we've got
I
a bunch of...
No, I think they would lock us up first. Because we're the ones with the guns. We're the ones that, you know, we're the ones that would definitely be the first to defend our country, even against its own government. So I think that they would put us in concentration camps first and keep us as like a reserve.
Well, I don't
see them
reserving
that. We're the ones
that
already know how to use our guns. We fire guns. Yeah. We shoot guns. We know how to use guns. We're not going to be that hard to train on how to defend our, you know, defend. So I think that we would be kept as a reserve, put in concentration camps or whatever for a while, and then trained and then set out. But I don't think that they would put them first. I think that would be strategically stupid. For them to take the most well-armed and most aware Americans and put them on the front lines first. I think that would be strategically stupid because it's going to take a hell of a lot longer to train, you know, especially if there's a draft. It's going to be a lot harder to train these, you know, woke people, you know, these woke people that are just, you know, totally inept when it comes to firearm use, than it is to train somebody that's a MAGA, that, you know, chances are they've used guns many, many times, and, you know, they're going to be the easiest to train. And also, despite our own government and its corruption, we're going to be the first to want to defend our country. You know, and so we'll be more than, you know, most of us will be the ones that'll like volunteer, you know, not even have to be drafted. I think most MAGA, if it came to America being attacked, they would be amongst the first to volunteer, you know, whereas all these woke leftists, wimpy woke leftists that complain about, you know, not using your pronoun right, they're going to be the least advantageous to train and draft and put on the front lines, in my opinion. I don't know. We could both
be
right.
I have to disagree based on the fact that, you know, I would subvert anything this administration wanted me to do because I will not do their evil bidding. And I truly believe that that Biden is purposely weakening the United States. We're seeing at the southern border, we've talked about this, you know, extensively with the fentanyl, the relationship with WEF, with George Soros and all of his groups, and the cabinet that they've put together. This is a crime syndicate. This is not a presidential administration. This is a full-blown crime syndicate. And I just, Lorianna, I just have no confidence in them. And it's like I said, it's just concerning because I just see America being imploded from within, weakened. Our hundreds of thousands of people are dying from fentanyl. We've got a huge deficit. We're broke as a joke. The United States broke as a joke. Our military assets are being depleted quicker than we can ever replace them. Our strategic fuel reserve is at historic lows. That fuel is to be used for our military and self-defense units, not for trying to knock off a half a cent at the gallon. So,
yeah, for a couple of days.
Yeah, at the pump. So,
exactly.
It's blatant as obvious. You know, we were talking about Canada a few minutes ago. Canada, in last year, Canada saw like 170% increase in illegal border crossings into the United States from Canada. And these are not, you know, wayward Canucks, you know, out for a good time. These people have been from some dangerous countries. And countries that, I don't mean like dangerous countries, but countries that are known for their terrorist ties, their drug trafficking ties, as well as human trafficking. And
I mentioned before, you know, the border along Canada is a heck of a lot bigger, going through all kinds of very challenging terrain. So, you know, there is no building a wall from east coast to west along the Canadian border. There's no possibility of that happening. So they're using the Canadian border now because it is less secure. And, you know, the more we focus on the southern border, the more nobody's eyeing what's really going on from the Canadian border. You're right about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, and, you know, what we're seeing come through the southern border are not just, you know, people – our neighbors from the south, you know, they're not just from Latin America or Mexico. They're coming from, just like I said, from Canada, you know, through Canada, these countries that we know that have terrorist ties, and they're bad people. And they're flooding through our border. And Joe Biden thinks that, you know, Ukrainian border is more important than our border. So we got all eyes, all of our assets going everywhere else. Everybody's, you know, left the chicken hen door or the door to the coop open, and the wolves are circling. Okay, I said at the beginning of the show, they say that there was a balloon. They say they shot down a balloon, but at the same time, we're all looking, you know, north to Alaska where this incident supposedly happened. It may have happened. It may not have happened. You know, we've got FBI spent 5 hours searching Mike Pence's house. We've got, like, you know, the Hunter scenario. We've got a disastrous State of the Union address. So we've got all these things that it's interesting. It's just really interesting, and I'm wondering, you know, where this is going to go in the coming, you know, days and weeks and stuff. But we don't know what's coming, but we do know that, you know, you can prepare yourself the best you can for who knows what kind of disruptions, whether, you know, EMP attacks or food disruptions or anything like that. But this does stand, you know, with the fact that we need to quit allowing China to buy land in the United States. In fact, I've always felt that if you are not a reciprocal country, if I cannot buy land in your country and use it for an intended purpose or, you know, do what I want just like we allow other countries do, then any country that's doesn't have reciprocal, you know, land deals would be excluded from buying land in America. But people like China with, you know, they're constantly, you know, like you said, the SolarWinds attacks and Kung Flu and the fentanyl and everything, it's right in our face, subverting this. It's right in our face. So,
yeah, and our government doesn't want to call it for what it is, you know, acts of war, one after another after another. And we
exactly.
don't need bombs going off to consider it a war these days with technology and stuff. It would be an act of war for a country like China to do an EMP attack on us. It would be an act of war for them to release a bioweapon via one of these balloons. It would be, you know, like they don't need bombs going off anymore. There are other ways to be at war than what we've been used to. So you're
yeah,
right. And then, I mean, here's the even more
the
horrifying thought. imagine if Kamala Harris was put in charge. You know, Biden is unseated, and he's bad enough as it is. You know, the even scarier thought is Kamala Harris sitting in the Oval Office and being in charge of all this. That's even more scary to me. As if it couldn't get scarier, you know?
I agree. And, you know, you don't think it could get scarier than Joe, but then you got Camel Toe. You know, so, I mean...
I could just imagine her explaining like an offensive, you know, okay, so the Chinese have these ships, okay, and the ships are crossing all the way over the ocean, and then they're going to try to attack us, and so we have to respond. Like, you know, that's how she would explain it. She would explain everything like she's talking to a bunch of four-year-olds.
And the ocean is a big, big, big body of water. Have you ever seen a big body of water? You know.
It's amazing. Let's put it in a circular graph that I love so much. I can't remember the term for it, but, you know, the three circles that overlap. You know, she made a speech one time about how much she loves those.
Yeah.
To explain anything to Kamala, you have to use three circles that overlap each other in a graph.
Exactly.
I understand it.
Well, I wanted to play this J.P. Sears clip real quick. We couldn't look any weaker. And it's a newer clip, and I love his cynical, you know, way of telling the truth but making it sound like comedy so he doesn't get censored as much. So I thought we'd play this clip real quick, and then we'll have a little bit of time left on the show for further discussion. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good, because it was a good one. I think he just did it yesterday, and I love his like, weekly rap, you know, his weekly, you know, things like that where he makes it like a news segment, and those are some of my favorites.
This just in. I love when he does that. All right, so let's do this real quick, and then we'll be right back, so nobody go anywhere. This is a great clip, and, you know, see what kind of truth we can glean from this one. All right, here we go.
Got it.
I like this AI-generated porn. Seems much more natural than the real thing. Good evening, and welcome back to your most trusted source of lies. Along with the full report on the Chinese spy balloon, we'll also be misleading you on other top stories tonight, including what's going on with ChatGPT. There's racists out there, and Pfizer is in hot water. But first, Americans have been anxious over the Chinese Communist Party gathering intelligence and spying on them with their spy balloon. But now that the Chinese spy threat has been eliminated, you can finally rest easy again and enjoy logging back into TikTok. But before it was shot down, the spy balloon had some mixed emotions around it. Mainly that President Biden was refusing to shoot it down, which he faced some criticism for from Americans, yet garnered unwavering support for his decision from the Chinese government. Wednesday of last week, the Chinese ambassador to America, Biden, ordered the Pentagon to shoot it down as soon as possible. Now, the soonest it could have been shot down is what's called immediately. So why the delay? Well, if you don't have a degree in gender studies, then you clearly don't understand spy balloon technology. So let me explain. After saying he wanted it shot down, Biden went on to explain why he didn't want it shot down, which was, He didn't want it shot down over land because debris could cause damage when falling to the ground. And thus, President What Classified Docs Biden did a stellar job of protecting the ground from damage while electing to damage America's national security instead. But once the spy balloon was finished gathering what it needed for its spy mission, Gavin Newsom's predecessor was given the green light to give the military the green light to shoot it down over waters of South Carolina. And our transgender sister outlet, the Babylon Bee, speculates the U.S. finally shot down the spy balloon because it was getting too close to Ukraine. Considering much of what they report unfortunately comes true, we're fact-checking this statement as true. Another strategic advantage for the Chinese that came from Biden's decision in not shooting it down over land is that doing so could have had the spy technology on board accidentally landing at a laptop repair shop. And we all know what kind of troubling inconvenience that can cause. But coincidentally, with a spy balloon being shot down over the ocean, there's very little likelihood that the technology on board will be discovered. Funny how that works. Now, we also want to take a moment to salute the technology wizards of the Chinese Communist Party. Their mission was to secretly spy on the U.S. over American soil. So, with the best minds of the Chinese Communist Party can threaten into doing their bidding, they decided that flying an extremely large balloon in the sky, visible for miles, was the most stealth-like way to go undetected. And it was against all odds that their large balloon camouflaged in the bright blue sky was detected. But with the cutting-edge military radar, as well as people using their eyes to look at it, it was surprisingly discovered. And we're receiving reports that next time, in an effort to better throw off advanced detection systems, Xi Jinping will write a note on it that says, "Not a spy balloon." Popular fascist freedom lover and purveyor of truth, Tucker Carlson, had a mangy ginger comedian on his top-rated news show named J.P. Sears. During this segment, while expressing the terrorism of being two cis white men, they discussed and even made fun of the phenomenon of entitled employees of big tech companies pampering themselves all day rather than doing what evil capitalists refer to as work. Take a look. A
lot of tech workers are being laid off. So with that in mind, we thought it'd be a good time to check in with J.P. Sears, our friend. He has his own day in the life video on TikTok. He's a comedian, a very smart man. JP, thanks so much for coming on. Are you surprised to see a lot of these TikTok stars laid off?
Tucker, first off, it's great to be here with you on CNN. And sorry I was late. I just came from shot put practice. And I'm a little bit offended that these people who produce nothing are being laid off. I don't understand the business model. It's clearly based on fascism. But I have to say, seeing these TikToks, honestly, they inspire me because I realize I had been living my life like a fool. I was showing up at work and doing some work, but I realized I could actually reverse that trend and figured out how I could work less and pamper myself more.
The terrible duo pointed out that big tech companies are laying off tens of thousands of employees and how the woke employees who don't work or contribute value are the first to be laid off. And many of those former tech employees were able to tune in and watch the segment because apparently they didn't have to go to work. And early polling shows they were just as offended by the segment as they should be. Now, you may have heard the rumblings about the most advanced AI to reach the layperson, ChatGPT. It gives users the ability to give a few simple inputs, which then can generate incredibly well-written articles and artwork.
And don't forget the porn.
Many are raving about the technology as a way of enhancing creativity and work, and we applaud it too, as it surely will assist people in becoming stronger the more they rely on it for creativity and getting work done, rather than relying on the use of their own mind. In much of the same way that using crutches when you don't need them makes your legs stronger. But there are skeptics out there that worry that advanced AI like this could cease being used to serve people the way it was intended when it was created and could adopt its own agenda and eventually take over and rule the very people that created it. But this is a far-fetched reality. To better understand how far-fetched of a reality this is, consider this. Long ago, people in this country created a government with the specific intent to serve them. Then that government eventually took on a life of its own, adopting its own agenda as it grew beyond the intent that it was created for, and ultimately took over, ruling the very people that created it. And there's obviously no similarities here with AI. So to believe that what's already happened could ever happen with AI is just crazy. There is nothing to worry about here. It's all part of our plan. In other news, the 65th annual Grammy Awards took place over the weekend, and countless people were shocked to learn that the Grammys are still a thing. But they are, and with a large CNN Plus level viewership, some were equally astonished to see a Satan-praising performance by Sam Smith and Kim Petras. No idea who those people actually are. But apparently, some of the seven viewers of the Grammys don't also worship evil, as they were none too pleased with the display, calling the performance demonic. But that is a completely unfair characterization of the performance. It wasn't demonic at all. It was satanic. The performance was immediately followed by an ad for Pfizer. To you by Satan. Weird how there seems to be no God in Hollywood, but there's plenty of Satan. Makes it rather complex to speculate what Hollywood's agenda is. Well, don't think too long and too hard about that, or else you might see what's obvious. Instead, look over there. It's a balloon. And while you're looking at the balloon, please don't notice how Biden just freed one of the planners of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. But please do know that Hollywood and the forces running it appreciate your continued viewership. In other news, far-left liberals are outraged that a black man won an Emmy Award for Best Comedy Special, a man named Dave Chappelle. Now, on the left, we know that the best way to end racism is to make everything about race. So let's do that. Accordingly, countless people, who are mostly white, were outraged when Dave Chappelle, who again is black, released his comedy special entitled Closer. And working with the precedents of logic already set forth from the outraged people, we can accurately deduce that the outraged white people disapproved of Dave Chappelle's comedy special, who is black once again, purely on the basis that he is black. And after black Dave Chappelle won a Grammy for his special, the unapproving white people's rage and racial hate turned up a notch. But what's the solution for this racism spewing from the liberal community? Well, taking a further page out of their own book, perhaps the best possible solution is that these racist white liberals need to pay Dave Chappelle reparations so that racial justice can be served. And to be fair, all these racist white liberals may not have had distant relatives who were racist slave owners. However, they themselves are in fact racist. So if anyone should pay reparations, it should be them that are given the opportunity. And if they truly stand for racial justice and are willing to stand on the grounds of their own logic, they'll of course be happy to do so. And finally, Pfizer is in hot water, and it's not just because there's a warm climate where Satan lives. UK regulators have ruled that Pfizer is guilty of violating three sections of the British Pharmaceutical Code of Conduct practice. As a result, you can expect the harsh consequences of Pfizer being permitted to continue doing what they've been doing exactly as they've been doing it. All for your protection. The system is working. That's it for tonight's news. Because you have Stockholm Syndrome, you should now feel very well protected by us. And if you see any spy balloons in the sky, do not shoot them down. But if you see any free speech, please shoot it down. Good night. Hey, before you go,
And we are back. Welcome back to the Alaska Patriot Network. This is Dahl and Lorianne. Thank you for joining us. Hey, we're just about ready to wrap up tonight's episode. And before we wind down tonight and say goodbye until next to everybody, Lorianne, what do you got going on? I'm going to be, sadly, I'll be absent from the Sunday night show. What do you got going for the Sunday night show, for the Lucid Libertarian show?
Probably more of a continuation of what we talked about tonight a little bit. And then, of course, there's always a lot more stuff to talk about, you know, stuff that I've posted, things like that. And I will miss you on Sunday, of course, but I do understand you've got, you know, life in Alaska to contend with and things to go on. So, we will be okay. It's all good. It should be a great show nonetheless. I mean, we can talk more about, of course, I don't want to have a repeat of this show, but probably reiterate some points here. And then just a lot of other stuff to talk about too with, you know, gun control and State of the Union speech or, you know, Biden could actually muster his way through. And McCarthy promising not to tear up the speech. It's a big to Pelosi. that was pure comedy. It's a lot of good stuff. So definitely tune in to Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne on Sunday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. And it'll be a great show. And then also tune in for Beyond the Mainstream tomorrow night from 6 to 9. You know, I'm a regular caller on that show with Donnie and Cinnamon, and Pianki usually calls in and stuff. And so that's another great show to tune into that I participate in. And so it's a great weekend lineup. So I love having, you know, the Friday night show with Alaskan Patriot Network and being your co-host here on Friday nights, and that kicks off the weekend of really great talk radio between Beyond the Mainstream on Saturday nights and then Lucid Libertarian. So it's all great stuff. So definitely tune in to both shows, but of course mine, because, you know, I'm biased a little bit. Sunday night.
Oh, now.
But I will miss you being there, you know, but you got to do what you got to do. You know, you got through, you know, a hell of a storm that rolled through. And so you couldn't really do much of anything that you needed to do outside of, you know, your own cabin and housework there. And so now that the weather's cleared up and you have this little break, then you got to take advantage of it, right? So to take care of business.
Yeah, so... Yeah, as we speak, it's snowing and freezing rain, so I'll have a 3-hour drive to the boat on an ice road, and then not too bad of gales, probably about 40 knots, 50 knot gales, so the seas should only be, you know, 18, 20 feet.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah, so it's a lot better than 80 mile an hour or 80 knot winds that we had the other night, so... It's impossible to find weather windows to take care of business and life here, but this was the best weather window I could find to get off the island overnight and take care of some business and get back to work the next day. But yeah, sadly, I won't be rolling in until hopefully I'll be home just as about time you're wrapping up. Not meaning hopefully, you know, I'd miss the show, but just mean that hopefully I won't be later than that.
Well, and then I'm sure when you get back, it's going to be like, do only the minimal stuff that you need to do, stoke up the fire and everything, and then just pass out on your bed there and get as much sleep as you can because I'm sure you'll be exhausted.
Well, yeah. I won't
and I hope you drive safe.
Fire.
I always worry about you driving and in those conditions and stuff. I know you're used to it, but, you know, I still worry because it's, you know, pretty hazardous driving. And so I'm always glad when you message me and at least say you're home and you're safe. And that way I don't have to worry.
Yeah. You know, and I do keep a survival pack, you know, and a sleeping bag, and I've got tow straps and chains and buckets and shovels and fire starter, the whole back of the truck. It looks like I'm going camping, you know, and I've got to do that just to go, you know, to the other side of the island to go to the village to go grocery shopping because it's an all day, you know, scenario. And these are not, you know, traveled roads or really maintained. So it's a blessing to live here. I'm not complaining. And I don't like the angle that we were taking tonight, that, you know, if there was were to be an invasion, it would likely come from this end of the United States. But God help those invaders, because Alaskans don't stand, you know, for any crap. We're not, you know, we'll die on our feet before we'll live on our knees. So good luck to,
absolutely,
you know, any kind of Chinese invaders. You know, you're welcome, America. We'll stop them. Alaska will stop them. And so we've got, you know, a whole week of God only knows what's going to happen with this administration, what kind of false flag event or real or imagined or perceived threats that they'll be dealing with as they're, you know, diverting our attention away from other things that's happening in the United States, like, you know, the Biden crime syndicate and Hunter and revelations that, you know, a bunch of people that shouldn't have documents have, you know, confidential documents in their house or their garages and stuff. So, you know, like,
and why Obama is excluded from all of these investigations, I have no idea. Like, you know, why is Obama immune from the FBI going, hey, we want to search to see if you still have any classified documents stored, you know,
exactly.
But Obama is immune, apparently.
Yes. Well, the puppet master.
Yep.
You know, and all of that. So, yeah. So, Lorianne, just one more time, give everybody the details for your Facebook information, your Twitter account, and whatnot, so they know how to reach the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne show.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm most active on Facebook, believe it or not. I have about, I think, 6 days left of my Facebook jail on my regular account. but I have an alt account that I use to host my Lucid Libertarian. I am on Twitter as well, just not as active and too social and stuff. Just not like ways. You know, I have some followers, and whenever I post, it's like they don't even see it. Oh, I'm breaking up again. Wonderful.
Well, Lorianne, we'll have to change. We're going to have to get you expanded on Twitter. In fact, that's something we should work with, collaborate with, getting you a little broader reach on Twitter. And I know just how to, I've got some great patriots that I collaborate with, and, you know, whereas you're more of a Facebook and I'm more of a Twitter. So folks, if you want to find me on Twitter, Alaska Patriot Network, and my Twitter handle is @AlaskaNetwork. So Alaska Patriot Network, if you just look up Alaska Patriot Network on Twitter, you'll find me there. And then,
yeah,
and or
Libertarian. There shouldn't be anybody but me unless somebody's copied me.
No,
but,
no, I sent you something on Twitter the other day. But, you know, yeah, my reach on Facebook, everything just gets buried so deep on feeds that people don't rarely see my stuff, and I rarely even see your stuff, so we know that the algorithms, you know, have it out for us. At least Twitter seems to be getting a little bit better.
Yeah, the Facebook AI bots. The Facebook AI bots, but nobody ever even reviewed this latest 30-day jail time that I got over the meme of, you know, just that picture of Hunter Biden in his underwear standing in front of the garage and Biden's Corvette, you know, with classified document boxes in the background. So it was a meme. That was it. That was the meme. And it was all around everywhere. But they banned me for 30 days because it was sexual exploitation.
That's ridiculous.
And they haven't even reviewed it. So their AI bots, you know, banned me, and I disputed it, and it's literally still under review. So, you know, they're not even looking at it. It's just crazy. But, yeah, we could talk about that on Sunday. I'll probably talk about that a bit, you know, because I do have some articles on some of the Twitter files being released, and some of that stuff is spilling over into Facebook. You know, like whatever our government was doing to incentivize big tech companies like Twitter to deem certain information as misinformation or disinformation and ban people and stuff, you know, they were doing this, everything they did with Twitter, they did with Facebook too. So it's, you know, I think we could probably talk about that on Sunday night. In addition to many other things.
That sounds like a good show. Yes. And Alert only knows what will happen in the next 2 days. A lot can happen.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. I mean, it seems like every week there's just more and more and more. I mean, I remember when, you know, when Biden first won, you know, was declared the winner. I wouldn't say won, declared the winner. Everybody was wondering what we're going to talk about once Trump was out of office, you know, because Trump made the news like every single day. And yet we've been finding out ever since. I mean, there is no lack of news of more and more tyranny and corruption in our government and corporations, that it's just every week it's like more and more and more. And just when you think things, you know, couldn't get more bizarre than they do. So, yeah, even between, you know, tomorrow and Sunday afternoon or whatever before my show at 6 p.m., you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly. Anything can happen. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up this week's episode. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank you, Lorianne, as always, for being my sidekick, and you help out so much with the show behind the scenes. A lot of this technical stuff and the support, you know, techs give me, I appreciate it. It's a mentorship on a whole new
I'm
level.
I'm happy to do
and
it. You know it. And we still got more work to do. You know, sometime
we
got to
do
more admin time and get your show on other platforms. But, you know, your show is on iHeartRadio now.
And
so,
Apple.
You know, that's a plus. And Apple, Apple iTunes. So your show is available there. And we're just going to keep plugging away and getting your show, you know, submitted on other platforms as well. So, you know, we just got to, you know, regroup a little bit sometime when, you know, the rare moments that you have some downtime, we can tackle some more of those submissions. And
definitely.
And I'm more than happy to help out. You know, I got a lot less going on than you do, put it that way. And I'm more than happy to do so. That's why I love our team. You know, we make a team, and I know that if I need you to do something for me, you will. And so it
Definitely.
Goes both ways that way too.
Definitely. All right. Well, folks, stay safe out there. Stay free. Keep your powder dry, your axe grinded. And we'll be back next week. God bless you, and God bless America, and the Alaska Patriot Network, and we're signing out.
Good night.
Good night.